Well, good morning, everyone, and a very happy Easter to you all. Just want to tell you about an Easter service that was in Bangladesh, and the congregation were watching a film, and they wept as they watched the film, and it was the scene of Jesus' crucifixion. And in India, people cry a lot and very loudly, and then suddenly a little boy from the back jumped up and he shouted, "Don't worry, he gets up. I saw it before." And this reading from John finds the disciples frightened and hiding after the crucifixion. They were afraid for their own lives and doubting whether Jesus really was who he said he was. And then, Sunday morning, the stone was found rolled away from the entrance of the tomb. Not so that Jesus could get out. He could have easily left without the stone being removed. It was rolled away so that others could get in and to see that he was indeed risen from the dead. And a woman called Mary Magdalene found the tomb first. I'll say that again. A woman called Mary Magdalene found the tomb first, along with some other women. And then they fetched the disciples, Simon Peter and the other one, which we assume to be John. And they entered the tomb and they left to tell all the other disciples what they had seen. And they were confused. They were overwhelmed by what they'd seen, leaving Mary at the graveside. And when Mary encountered Jesus outside of the tomb, she didn't recognize him at first. And she didn't recognize him because she didn't expect to see him. And I wonder how many times we miss the presence of Jesus. We miss hearing Jesus because we don't really expect to be in his presence or to hear him in the everydayness of our lives. And yet his greatest desire is to speak with us if we are willing to listen. Mary didn't recognize him until he called her name. And can you imagine what that must have felt like when she heard Jesus say her name? And Jesus is calling you and me by name too. You might hear it in the storms of life. You might hear it in the wind, in the fire, or in the still small voice of the silence. Because everyone matters to Jesus. Each of us is loved and precious in his sight, and he longs to be in relationship with us, a relationship that comes through our own free will by saying yes to Jesus. Jesus is just a breath away, waiting like the father of the prodigal son who waits for his son to come home, scanning the horizon day and night, hoping for him to turn back and find the father's extravagant welcome waiting for him. For her to come home so that he can lavish upon them his unconditional love, unlimited, full of forgiveness, full of compassion and full of grace. Jesus told Mary to go, tell the others. And later we find that Peter was restored and forgiven, and then commissioned by Jesus to go and feed his sheep. It's what God does so well, isn't it? In a divine exchange, bringing faith in place of fear, light in place of darkness. And the other disciples, after receiving the Holy Spirit, they too were blessed and told to go. And in Matthew we read, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." God is still calling disciples in every generation, people just like Peter, people who've probably made a mess of things up till now, whom Jesus is looking at with love and inviting them to receive and to celebrate with him, and then to work with him and for him so that others whom he loves might be fed too, so that they too can hear the good news of the kingdom. And the point about the resurrection is that Jesus is beginning, God's new world order, and it turns the values of this world upside down. Jesus guarantees that love is stronger than death, that the God who made the world has grieved over its fall into sin and corruption, but hasn't left us to stew in our own juices. Jesus entered in. He's taken our pain and our shame and death. He's gathered it up to himself and taken it to the cross on our behalf. And he's broken through to a new, hope-filled creation for all of us to be part of, if we choose. And we can't, none of us who know, we can't privatise this message of the resurrection, because if it's good news for us, it's good news for the whole world. And we know that we're a church that wants to say yes to Jesus and to go. And we need each other. We need each other to give each other courage to say yes, remembering and encouraging each of us that courage doesn't always roar and shout. Sometimes courage goes to bed at night and says, I'll try again in the morning. We call to go and follow, to where the hungry sit on the ground with distended stomachs, where the refugees and the dispossessed lie on the ground too, past any anger or hope, to where the old are forgotten and the young are brutalized, to where bombs in our cities kill innocent people. Follow me, Jesus says, to the corridors of power, to the poor, to the couples who've forgotten how to love, to those who are agonizing over a child that they long to have, to those who are lonely, to those whose lives are confined by illness, to the broken, and to families needing the ashes of hope to find life again. Follow me, says Jesus, and tell them that I love them. Tell them that I died for them. Tell them that they are forgiven too. And tell them that I'm alive for them, and that there is new life, a new celebration. And tell them that there is a God who made them, and that if they find Jesus, they'll find the Father God who loves them. But words alone aren't enough. We need to be the words with skin on. And to tell those we meet, to tell our story, how we found Jesus and how our lives have been transformed and filled with hope. We need to share their pain, their joy, their tears, as we spend time with them, and as we carry the kingdom of God within us by his Holy Spirit, that they too might see Jesus. And we're invited to do this because Jesus is risen. And with him and in him, and we become a new creation, each one of us, forgiven, loved, and filled with his grace more and more. And knowing that on our best days, Jesus is glorified through us. And on our worst days, we're still loved. We're still forgiven. We're still blessed. And our Father God is proud of us. And we don't need to worry, because he got up again. And so shall we. Because Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the new song you have given us to sing, full of love and of hope. Thank you that in you all is well with our soul. Would you lead us once again, we pray, to the grave that is empty, into the garden of resurrection where we may meet with Jesus, and give to us such faith in the risen and healing power of your Son, Jesus our Lord, that we may gladly and readily follow wherever he leads and embrace for his sake whatever tasks he entrusts to us, that your sheep may be fed and your world healed. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.